Blog Talk Radio.
Fans, welcome to the show here on another Sunday afternoon. We've got a few show notes before the guest comes on. Best of the West Wrestling in Merced, California. Championship Wrestling from Hollywood in Port Huneme, California. Shimmer in Berwyn, Illinois. KDW in Jeffersonville, Indiana. ECW in Houma, Louisiana. Evolve in Joppa, Maryland. XICW in Warren, Michigan, SCW in Clinton, Mississippi, USIWF in Kernersville, North Carolina, Smash Wrestling in Toronto, Ontario, TASW in San Antonio, Texas, featuring Jason Sullivan, and NWA Blue Collar Wrestling, like usual, in Portland, Oregon, at the North Portland Eagles. Well, QT, looks like there's a lot of wrestling going on.
A lot of wrestling going on, and I would recommend that Devin Bellinger watch some past wrestling events that took place at La Problemitas in Bremerton, Washington, where dreams go to flourish. Because, Sungai, I have heard through my sources in Shelton, Washington, that Devin Bellinger has gone into a major funk after the Huskies lost yesterday. Yes.
Major Funk should be his college nickname. And I believe our guest has joined us. Let's bring him on right away.
Okay.
Do we have what they see? SCW Heavyweight Champion Adam X.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, Adam X, it's our pleasure to have you. Your first solo interview here with us. And since it's your first time solo with us, I think we'll give you the first-timer's question to start. What led to you getting into the business of professional wrestling?
Well, first off, before I answer that question, I wanted to thank you guys for having me on the show. I greatly appreciate this time. It was actually pretty cool. But to answer your question, what got me into professional wrestling in the first place was I've said this before. I used to watch WCW as a kid when I was younger. The first wrestler I saw was Rey Mysterio, and the other one that I'd seen was Juventud Guerrera, and I really wanted to, you know, that struck a chord with me in the sense that, like, you know, these guys were not the biggest guys, but they were putting on the most killer matches I had ever seen, you know. And at that time, I mean, I had been an off and on pro wrestling fan, but not to the level that I became after watching these guys, because these guys were doing things that nobody else was doing, and it was just blowing my mind. And so I told myself that, you know, if I ever get the chance to get in to do this, I want to do something, you know, close to that. It struck a deep chord with me. And then I went to a live event with my buddy Joel Torres. His father had taken us. It was my very first WWE live event. It was WWE Unleashed. It was over at the Tacoma Dome. And I remember there was a match that Booker T was involved in, and I think he was tagging with Bill Goldberg, and it was against Ric Flair and Triple H back when they were in Evolution, I believe. My memory is a little skewed, so pardon me. But I remember Booker T sitting on the sidelines of the apron, just sitting there on the apron, you know, waiting to be tagged. And me and my friend had snuck up to the front row, or like a little walk-in area, the little walk aisle of the front row. And I called out his name, and he turned around, and you know, I raised my hands in the air to let him know it was me that called him, and he pointed right at me and smiled. And I'll never forget that. You know, it was just like, it's a little thing. Like, I never got to shake the guy's hand. I never got to meet him backstage. It was just it was the fact that he pointed me out of all those people there and smiled at me. That, for me, that stuck with me. So ever since then, I was like, you know what? That inspired me. You know, this is a guy that I watched on TV since I was little. And he's, like, right there in front of me in the flesh and blood, you know, pointing right at me. So I was like, you know, that inspired me. So I want to do the same thing. I want to grow up to be an inspiration, and I want to do that for somebody else someday. And you know, basically set the tone that it's okay to go out there and live your dreams.
Now, fast forward several years. You've been in the business for quite a while. You have become multi-time SCW heavyweight champion. You've held Inner City Championship. When fans come up to you now and they want autographs and they want pictures made with you, what goes through your head when that happens?
Well, honestly, that's humbling for me. I still, to this day, like, I have a hard time accepting that any of this is real for me, because I never thought that, I mean, for some people, this may seem a small step, because, you know, I'm just some guy on the indies. You know, I'm nobody. You know, not everybody in the world knows my name. So, and I understand, and I accept that. And maybe I'm never going to get, you know, any bigger. But the fact of the matter is, for me, is that it's just, like I said, the fact that it's the fact that I'm able to, you know, put smiles on people's faces, and that they see enough in me that they want my autograph. I'm just like, well, holy crap, you know. it's still a very humbling experience for me, and it's still something that I actually, you know, deep inside, I'm like, wow, they want my autograph. I never thought they would, you know, or they want my picture, you know, they want to take pictures with me. Like, I'm inspiring them. At least I hope that I am. And it's something that I really can't exactly easily put into words, but it overjoys me, because I felt like I was never going to get this far, at least. I always thought I was just going to be the guy going out and doing jobs and just being enhancement talent, you know, because, you know, nobody really saw anything. I felt like nobody had really saw anything special in me. I was just another guy, you know, and was going to get lost in the fold or lost in the shuffle. And maybe I should look, you know, maybe I should be more, people say that I should probably be more, what's the word I'm looking for? Confident in myself, and which I am. It's just I just don't ever want to get to that point where I become egotistical or come off egotistical. You know, I'm very rooted into who I am, and that's, you know, I'm a very shy person, but at the same time, I still have a lot of love and respect for myself, and I'm still easy to approach, and I'll talk with anybody just so long as they're not a jerk about it, you know. But sorry for the long-winded answers, but
no, absolutely fine. Now, like I had mentioned, you won the SCW heavyweight title multiple times now, including 8 days ago in Bremerton, Washington. Can you take us through what was going in through your mind the first time the three count was made and you're the SCW heavyweight champion?
And you're talking about the first time I won it?
The very first time you won it.
Oh, man. it was an outpour of emotion. What was going through my head was like, no way, this is, you know, at first it was emotional, like, after all the years that I had put into this. I mean, I know it makes it, you know, I'm making it sound like I won WrestleMania or something, but or won a match at WrestleMania, but for me, it may seem little to other people, but to me, it was a big thing, because I'd had some trials and tribulations in SCW earlier on in my career. I had been made to feel like I was never going to be anything, and I was never even going to even ascend to that level. and I broke down. I'll be honest, I broke down because I didn't think I was going to be anything to anybody in this business at all. Like, I didn't think anybody was going to see anything important to me, but, you know, I kept my head down and just kept working. And sure, there were times where I was frustrated. And yes, this is all the stuff that was going through my head, but ultimately, like, what was going through my head is, this is real, this is really happening. You know, like, same thing like how I felt when Booker T pointed at me, like, holy crap, like, this is actually happening to me. And then the second thing that came into my head was, okay, how long till I drop this? I'm probably a transitional champion. I'm probably just another one of those guys that, you know, I'm just holding this for now because I really truly believe that in this business that there are champions and then there are title holders. And, you know, guys who are just holding it for right now just because, well, maybe, A, they just needed something fresh and they needed, you know, like a transitional champion. And I felt like that was the guy I was going to be. But even so, transitional champion or not, it's still an acknowledgement of my achievements and how hard I've put in, how much work I put into this, and the heart that I've shown, and the work that I put out. You know, being at every single show, hurt or healthy, whatever have you, emotionally distressed, regardless of whoever I was working with, whether they liked me or not, or whether I liked them or not. Just all of that, whether the people were going to see if I was worth a damn or not, just all of that rolled into one. And I, you know, it's something I still get at a loss for words. I'm actually looking at the title sitting right here on my desk right now, and I still to this day, I try not to look at it too much because it's just like I don't want to get overwhelmed in the sense that, like, I don't want it to go to my head, you know, because I'm of the mind that if there's always a bigger fish. There's always somebody bigger and better out there in the world. And to just enjoy whatever I have here, but don't let it go to your head because you never know what the booker has in store for you. You know, I could be holding this for 8 months. I could be holding it for 2 weeks. You know, it just all depends. But either way, I'm grateful for it. And I have a lot of respect for that title because I want to make it mean something. I want SCW to mean something instead of just a bunch of, you know, people, you know, crapping all over it and saying, hey, you know, these guys don't, they're a backyard fed or they're close to a backyard fed. And it's just like, you know, you don't understand. But it's the one thing I'm kind of trailing off, excuse me, like ADD.
Oh, that's perfectly fine. Now, earlier in your career, you were part of a faction called the Blonturage at SCW. Among other people in the group were Kellen Wraith, Ethan HD, Damon James, and Annie Wraith, at the time Annie Richards. Damon James and Ethan HD have gone on to do work for World Wrestling Entertainment in their careers. We have seen Kellen Wraith go through Ring of Honor camps and WWE tryouts. You were part of that faction. When you think about the talent that you were paired with very early in your career, looking back on it now, do you think that might have helped prepare you for where you're at in your career right now?
Yes. Yes, I really feel like, I mean, I didn't reap the benefits that they got to reap, and you know what, I'm not gonna crap all over that because those guys, regardless of their opinion of me, I respect them deeply. All those guys, and Annie too, you know, I respect them all, and I honestly, deep down, I looked up to them, and to a huge degree, I still do today. And the way I see it, you know, they deserve what they got. You know, they put in the time and effort, and they have it. They definitely have that it factor, those guys, and gal. As far as me, as far as learning from them, I really did, I think, deep down, like, looking back, you know, I was kind of a stubborn kid, and I had a lot of emotional issues and stuff like that. But at the same time, I'm not going to act like I didn't learn anything from them, you know. when you look up to somebody, you learn from them. I really do believe that. Just regardless of what people, you know, what people may think on that, you know, just being around people like that, just being around influences and observing them, you learn just by watching as well as listening. And so, yeah, you know, how to conduct yourself in a professional manner and all those things. Like, I took later on in my career and adapted it to myself. I adapted it to my way of working. So I hope that someday I can get to their level. But for now, you know, I just accept what I've been given.
One of the things that is on record from you is having been said is you're a big proponent of tea. A lot of people in the wrestling business believe in a post-match antioxidant tea. People like myself, Dash Venture, many others like to have a tea afterwards to sort of cleanse and rehydrate. Are you a big proponent of an immediate post-match tea?
Well, I wouldn't say immediate. Usually when I get home, that's when I actually start sitting down and drinking my tea, because it's more really of a comfort thing. It's something that I do in my spare time. You know, I'll drink tea when I'm reading things or watching something. You know, like you said, yeah, that's true. I'm a huge teetotaler, I guess is the word. I love tea. So, yeah, I would say that. Like, if I had the chance to, you know, to drink tea after my matches, but I don't sit there after everything I do or before everything I do. I don't really think about those things. I'm always, you know, trying to focus on the situation at hand. And then on top of that, I really, you know, after my matches, I really don't have time to do something like that, because I'm busy helping tear down the ring and whatnot. So, I like to save all the leisurely stuff for when I get home.
I know you're a big fan of green tea, but
oh, yeah.
On days that you wrestle, is there any other specific tea that you like to have either before or after the match because of certain properties it brings to the table?
I do like green tea a lot. So, and I don't really have a specific brand. If it's green tea, maybe I need to start, like, really looking into brands. But I do like Taizo. Taizo or Tazo. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right. But I've been drinking that for years. And that's one specific kind of brand of tea I do love. And Tazo green tea has always been one of my go-tos. I like the taste. I like the flavor. So I'll usually drink that before a show. And that'll help calm my nerves. Or even when I'm going out looking for, you know, looking for a job, or, you know, really anything, you know, like I'll sit down and I'll read a comic book and drink tea.
Now, Stash makes a sunny orange ginger tea that's delightful, just in case you're looking to expand your tea horizons.
I'll have to look into that. I mean, I've also been, I just recently tried this green tea pomegranate stuff. Like, I can't remember who makes the brand. I'll have to, because a friend made it for me one time, and he gave me a couple of the bags, and the name wasn't listed on the bags, obviously, because he just gave me the bags themselves. But it was green tea and pomegranate, and, you know, I like pomegranates because it's really, because of their antioxidant properties and all that. So I like that a lot, too. I've been getting into that a lot lately. But, yeah, I'll have to look into that specific kind of tea you just mentioned to me, as I am kind of looking to try and expand my horizons.
Well, we have a game that we like to play on this show. You might be a perfect candidate for this. We call it Bring On to Choice, Bring On to Funk. I will give you a series of two options, and the one that you most prefer is the answer. Are you prepared to go through a round of Bring On to Choice, Bring On to Funk?
Sure, why not? Let's give it a shot.
All right, here we go. Boots or shoes and kick pads?
Shoes and kick pads.
chain match or first blood match?
Chain match.
Tights or trunks?
Tights.
Earl Grey or Jasmine?
Earl Grey.
Oak or pine?
Pine.
Beef or pork?
Beef.
Clothesline or shoulder block?
Shoulder block.
Ring of Honor or TNA?
Ring of Honor.
A final one, Earl Hebner or Mike Chioda?
Earl Hebner. I'm nostalgic.
All right. Now, speaking of Earl Hebner and Mike Chioda, in your career, you've wrestled in several places in the Pacific Northwest. You've come across several officials. A lot of wrestlers have particular favorites for whatever reason. Sometimes strictly the chemistry is right. Sometimes they like their style opposed to other referees, so forth, so on. Whom are your favorite referees that you've worked for so far in your career?
Right now, this may sound a little ass-kissy, and I'm not trying to go there, but I will say this. Definitely Sage Hamilton. That guy was really, really, it was really crisp to work with. He actually would help me out when I got lost, in some of our matches. Every time I worked with him was a pleasure. And of course, you, Sign Guy, like, you actually, like, the last match that I worked with you, you would have helped me out a couple of times as well. Those are the two main referees that I've had the pleasure of working with. And I'm not just saying that just because I'm on your podcast.
One would hope not.
But, anybody who can add to the match, I feel like the referee is a very, very key component to any match, especially for any heel or for any babyface or just for you know, keeping up with things. That I really feel like the referee is an underappreciated art.
I would concur with that. Now, I also brought up in Bring On to Choice, Bring On to Funk, a blood match. Blood has been kind of a controversial subject in the world of professional wrestling in the last 10 years or so, with the advent of blood-borne pathogens and so forth and so on. What's your stance on blood as it relates to pro wrestling in the year 2016?
Well, my stance on it is it's kind of it's more really of a neutral stance. I mean, I understand the importance of blood, and I also understand why there are those who oppose it, especially in the year 2016, where blood is more. It's regained its prevalence as shocking, you know, the shock value, because we haven't seen it in so long. So when it happens, people are like, "Oh God, you know, it's you know, this person is bleeding." You know, like when you see it on WWE television, you know, they're quick to rush to that person and then they're quick to try and patch him up during the match. They'll stop the match, which really and truly, that's in my opinion, that's kind of like a crappy thing to do, because it's not allowing us to put on that image that we are tough. And, you know, what we do is every bit as athletic and every bit as dangerous and every bit as tough. You know, tough guy mentality is MMA. I really feel like blood adds importance to the match, you know, or to a feud, excuse me. It adds importance to the feud. It's willing to show how serious, you know, things are getting, you know, how what's the word I'm looking for? It adds a whole another seat of your pants element to the match, I really feel. And I feel like, you know, you know, people, you know, who sit there and go, oh, well, it's, you know, the year 2016, we're in a very PG era and all that. And it's just like, but at the same time, you know, there are movies out there that are PG-13 and are gory as all hell. I mean, look at Aliens versus Predator. You know, that movie, you know, it's got all kinds of blood and gore, people getting stabbed, you know, aliens bursting out of people's chests and stuff. There's blood in that, and nobody bats an eye out of that. You know, and that's acting. Same, it's almost in the same realm as professional wrestling in a sense. But, you know, you do it in professional wrestling, and all of a sudden, oh, my God, you know, you're going too far. And I remember at a point in time in wrestling where, like, if, you know, blood, it got to the point where blood in the match became kind of passé. You know, it became... I'm not even sure if I use the right word, passe, but it became to the point where it was just oversaturated. You know, if you gigged at the wrong time, you know, during a feud, then you know, like for instance, you would not want to have blood in a match in the very beginning of the feud because it's got to mean something. You know, it's just the same way as. The way I see it is how people do the outside dives. Now you watch WWE television and everybody and their mother is doing an outside dive. And I really feel like that in and of itself is something that's lost its art. You know, it's lost its meaning. You know, you do that. I really feel like you do an outside dive during you know, a point in the feud where it's about to reach its boiling point, you know, to show that, hey, this is what this means to me. I'm willing to practically kill myself to prove that I want this title or to prove that I was right in this feud. I'm willing to prove, you know, I'm willing to put my life on the line to win this fight. Because that's what a fight is. It's, you know, it's a life struggle. And I feel the same thing with blood, is that it's something that it's, yeah, while it's maybe too much for some people to handle, then turn the channel. You know, if you can't watch it, turn the channel. You have a TV remote for a reason.
Very true, and I would love to see wrestlers' mothers start doing dives on people.
Oh. Just don't want to see them get hurt.
If Judy Bagwell doing a tope con hilo onto someone would be mind-blowing.
That'd be a holy shit moment. Yeah, that'd be a holy shit moment for sure.
Yes.
Mama dive.
Now, of course, when you do dives and things like that, and sometimes when the blood flows, it's from an injury. Anyone that's in the ring for any particular length of time comes away with some sort of minor injury, sometimes major injuries. In your career to date, what's been some of the injuries that you've had to deal with?
Well, blood-wise?
Just... injuries in general.
Injuries in general. There was one time during a training event, I guess you could say, during a training session. I had taken a choke slam, and I guess the guy who was giving them shouldn't have been giving them, and I guess he didn't understand the mechanics of a choke slam and drove me down on the mat, and I kind of backflipped. Landed on the back of my head, and I ended up with a concussion. And that was it wasn't like super serious, but it was my first very concussion. It was the first time I'd ever been knocked out. Luckily, it was at a training session and not in front of a live audience, because it was pretty freaking scary for me because I'd never been knocked out before like that, or at all. In any case, there was that. I've healed myself, I guess is what they call it, where you know you crack your heel a little bit when you take a bump and you smack the back of your foot, you know, your heel onto the pavement, and I've had to tape up my foot and wrestle that. That also happened in training just before a show. That was around my second or first year in. I mean, nothing really serious aside from the concussion. Nothing really serious has happened. I'm actually currently I'm currently healing up from a chip fracture in my toe from the match that I had recently with Ian Bear for the title. Something happened where he stepped on my toe, and it's all right, Ian. Don't worry, it's all good, man. These things happen. I don't, you know, kind of karma for me accidentally hurting him. I did a drop kick in a match where I went through a table, and I guess his legs weren't wide enough for me to take the bump. And I did a drop kick from the second turnbuckle and landed on his foot. I think I kind of injured his foot a little bit. So it's karma. What goes around comes around. let's see. Well, so I really haven't like I haven't really had. Like, I've been fortunate enough to not have too many serious things happen. So.
Well, at this time, my co-host QT is standing by, so Fez, help you as I pass things along to QT for a bit.
Oh, no worries, and thank you for your time.
Well, thank you, Sangai. Hello, Adam.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well, pretty good. Can't complain. And if I do complain, I see people's eyes glaze over. Yeah. Oh, it's true, yes. Well, Adam,
but you're not to complain, but I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, okay. Well, Adam, by new official Turnbuckle Turmoil rules, I am bound to open the second segment of our show by asking the question, what's the hardest knife-edge chop you've ever received from a Northwest wrestler, and was it from a lady wrestler?
Actually, no, it was not from a lady wrestler. I mean, I've been given a chop by Phantasma, and I mean that sucked a little bit. but the hardest chop I've ever been given. That's a tough one, because I've had some pretty damn hard chops. I've been chopped by Dash Venture. That was a pretty tough one. I remember. Ron Sutherland, otherwise goes as Ron Von Hess. I remember my first year in my career, he chopped the ever-living shit out of me. I'm trying to remember. I've been chopped by so many people, it's ridiculous. You don't really, like, for me, it gets to a stabling point where it's like, it's pain. It all sucks. So.
Wow, all right. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you ever receive a knife-edge chop from either member of the tag team Rolling Too Deep?
Rolling Too Deep?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard the name, honestly. I might have. I mean, I've heard of Rated 2 Gangsta. I received a guy who was by the name of Bad Blood. I received a chop from him.
Oh, okay. Well, I will try to pass on all the information and YouTube videos I can find of Rolling Too Deep to you after the show. Yes.
Okay, wait a minute. You're not setting me up to get chopped, are you?
Oh, no. Rolling Too Deep may or may not have passed on to greener pastures. Yes.
Oh, good. To save my chest, all right? I don't want to get chopped anymore today.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Well, Adam, I would like to expand briefly on Sun Guy's Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk. Are you ready for an expanded version? Oh, okay. All right. Snickers or Three Musketeers?
Oh, Snickers, easily.
Oh, okay. Snickers, okay. Brook Trout Almondine or Pan-Seared Chilean Sea Bass?
What was the first one?
Brook Trout Almondine.
I mean, the types of fish. I mean, I heard the sea bass, so.
Yes, pan-seared Chilean sea bass.
We'll go with the sea bass, because I've never had the other one.
Oh, okay. All right, you haven't had brook trout almondine, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Baked potatoes by Wendy's or crispy chicken sandwich by Jack in the Box?
Well, I don't eat a whole lot of fast food, but if I had to choose, I'd probably go with the baked potato.
Oh, okay. All right. Minus the sour cream, of course. Okay.
Well, actually, that's kind of a guilty pleasure. Gotta have sour cream with the baked potato.
Oh, all right. Okay. All right. 60s female icons, Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney or tennis icon Billie Jean King?
I'll be honest, I do not know who either one of those are. Billie Jean King, you said?
Yes.
I'll go with that one. But probably people are listening to me like, come on, Adam, what the hell? I don't know everything.
Billie Jean King had a kind of like a battle of the sexes match against Bobby Riggs in 1960s, a tennis match. And at the time, it was an advancement of women's, rights or a 60s movement, the empowerment of the female against the male stereotype in athletes. She was one of the icons.
I'll choose her.
Now granted, Shirley Cha-Cha Modelny drove a pink dragster in the 1960s and was the only female drag racer at the time. And her feuds against Big Daddy Don Garlicks for the time when they would go down the strip in 7 seconds were legendary. People saw the pink dragster and thought, wow, this is a gender barrier being broken.
Oh, that's impressive. Holy crap. Well, I learned something new today. Thank you for teaching me that. I'll have to do some more research then.
Oh, okay. I would thoroughly encourage you to go on YouTube and look up Shirley Cha-Cha Modelny in her pink dragster.
Oh, okay. Well, I most certainly will. That way, the next time if I'm ever on this podcast again, I won't look like a total fool.
Well, we have the hard-hitting questions on here. Yes.
Oh, yeah, hard-hitting, like Chops.
Yes. Like Chops from Rolling Too Deep. Yes.
Okay. Oh, no, God. Oh, no, thank you. We're good on that.
Oh, okay. All right, and the last one, Evel Knievel or Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Stone Cold Steve Austin. I mean, even Evel Knievel was awesome, you know, with his stunts and all that, you know. But Stone Cold Steve Austin had a much bigger effect on my career and on as my choice as a wrestler, obviously.
Okay. Although Evel Knievel did have his motorcycle and ramp for kids in the 1970s.
Oh, yeah, he did. He definitely did. I'll give him that, but for me, like, I don't know, I always was geared more towards professional wrestling as my idols, or professional wrestlers, as my idols, so. And no disrespect to Mr. Knievel, but I'm going to have to go with Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, okay. All right, good enough. Okay, I'm going to underline that and put it in our Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk logbook. Very important, okay? All right, well, Adam, in your opinion, once Donald Trump takes office, will he make an appearance on Monday Night Raw on the Jumbotron and interrupt Vicky Guerrero?
I don't think if Vicky Guerrero is ever back in the company, sure, maybe. Although we might see a Donald Trump appearance of some kind on Raw, I'm sure, considering the fact the guy is a Hall of Famer. I'm pretty sure he'll make an appearance at some point or another.
Oh, okay. Could you see Donald Trump getting in the ring and Stone Cold says, "You're in my ring now, son, you better behave," and Donald Trump going, "I funded this ring through presidential pardon." Yes.
I could see that happening.
Oh, okay.
If it hasn't already, which I'm pretty sure it has.
Okay. Well, Adam,
or something close to it. I'm sorry.
Well, something, yes. All right. Well, Adam, you're young enough to have at least 20 more years in the ring, barring major injury. By that time, it's estimated that 15% of our manufacturing jobs will be held by robots, and there will be a human-robot marriage. My question is, do you see yourself as one of the first Pacific Northwest wrestlers to receive a knife-edge chop by a robot?
Hell no. Are you kidding me? We want to get... That's bad enough getting chopped by blood, flesh, and bone, but by gears, metal, and wires? Are you kidding me? Hell no. That might as well break my chest. How about this? How about I just stand in the street and get run over by a car?
Oh, okay. Ooh, that'd be terrible. Okay. All right. I'm going to leave it up to hopefully Bad Blood to get chopped by the first robot in the Northwest. Yes.
Well, hopefully not. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's tough enough to take it, but, you know, hey, I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
Well, all right. Okay, well, Adam, not too many people know that Difula Dabashi can perform civil marriages. Do you see a time when Difula Dabashi will preside over the marriage of Northwest wrestler Paul Servius and a robot?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, we always have our jokes that, you know, Paul Servius is one true love is a pleasure bot of some kind. I could see that happening.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, shout out to Paul Servius there, you know, some bitch.
Whoa.
And he can cuss all he wants at it and not have to worry about getting fired.
Wow, okay, all right. Okay, well, I'll put that down as a definite possibility of Paul Servius getting married by Difula Dabashi. Okay, very good.
We love you, Paul.
Well, Adam, Sign Guy, Dimitri, and myself recently started an online petition to get indie wrestler Damian Wayne Team Bad Knee status. You indicated your willingness to sign the petition, and we thank you. Bad Knees consists of Troy Miller, Casey Carlisle, Cameron Starr, and we are also trying to get Jimmy Flame in for the Class of 2017 nominee status. We thought we'd
easy to get that guy in there. Much love and respect to Jimmy Flame. He's another one of the guys who's influenced my career. Sorry to interrupt, but I had to throw that out there. Much love to you, Jimmy. Much love to you, sir.
Wow, all right. I'm going to put down that he has your approval for 2017 nominee status. Okay.
Put my name on the top of the list for him if you could, because I really have a lot of respect for him.
Wow, okay. I'm right top of the list. All right, I'll put that in parentheses. Very nice. Okay. Well, Adam, I also saw your YouTube video entitled Rated 2 Gangsta versus Adam X / Servius. Was this the first time you had been in the ring at La Problemita's with the Ghetto Heisman Bad Blood?
Oh, actually, that wasn't over at I would say that would be the very first time. But it wasn't over at La Problemita's. That was actually at a Rock and Roll Pizza. That was years ago. Actually, that was somewhere around my second or third year in the business. That was for Dr. Payne's Portland Wrestling.
Oh. Well, it looked very much like La Problemita's to me. Boy, that's...
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Well, considering the fact that, you know, it's in a restaurant, and, you know, really tight fit for a ring, you know, and a small crowd, but at the same time, a decent crowd with good people in it. I can see the similarity.
Oh, okay. All right. In your opinion, should Bad Blood change his name to Type O Negative like the rock group?
Hey, man, that's up to him. That's up to him.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to get chopped. If I get that the wrong answer, I don't want to get chopped by him.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Adam, in this video, both G-Money and Bad Blood came off the ropes and gave you a double elbow drop at the 2 minute and 35 second mark. My question is, are there any truth to the rumors that both G-Money and Bad Blood were so impressed by La Problemita's and the bucolic life of the city of Bremerton, where indeed dreams come to flourish and not die, that they had decided to purchase La Problemita's and rename it the Double Elbow Drop Restaurant of Soul Food?
Well, once again, that wasn't over at La Pablanita's. That was over at Rock and Roll Pizza in Portland. I guess so. I had actually never heard such a rumor. But, knowing Bad Blood, I would not doubt it.
Wow, all right, so you're saying there is a chance. Okay. The Double Elbow Drop Restaurant of Soul Food. I'm going to put that down as a possibility. Okay, very good. Well, Adam, at the 550 mark, G-Money came off the second turnbuckle and gave you an elbow drop after flying an estimated 12 feet in vertical distance. This is not quite as far as the exploits of Shane O'Mac or Shane McMahon on Monday Night Raw. My question is, when you were in high school, were you a big fan of Shane O'Mac?
Not necessarily. I mean, I didn't think he was like, you know, he didn't change my life and make me want to become a wrestler, but, you know, the guy, for what the guy does, you know, I can definitely respect, you know, the balls the guy has to do the things that he does, or did the things that he did. But I will say he's not necessarily an influence, but if I ever met him and hung out with him in person, I would enjoy it.
Wow, all right. Okay. All right, very good. Okay. Well, earlier when you were talking to Sign Guy, you mentioned Juventud Guerrera as being a major earlier influence when you were growing up, and also Eddie Guerrero. My question is, why hasn't Coach Mike Jones driven down to the waterfront at the Squamish Tribal Gymnasium in Paulsville, Washington, in a Prius hybrid?
I don't know. Maybe he's trying to keep his Prius hybrid hidden from everybody else so that nobody steals it. I don't.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, we had called Mike Jones
maybe it's
in
because
a Prius.
Maybe it's because, well, then who would steal a Prius? You know, that's an engine-powered lunchbox.
Oh, wow.
I'd be embarrassed to drive one of those.
Oh, I don't. I think there's something about Coach Mike Jones in a Prius hybrid at the Squamish Tribal Gymnasium that reminds me of Eddie Guerrero in a lowrider.
Yeah. Well, hey, I guess you gotta haters gonna hate, and you gotta flaunt what you got. I don't know. I mean, if that's his style, that's his style. I ain't gonna judge. Who am I? Who am I to judge?
Well, I. Coach Mike Jones has given a lot to Northwest Wrestling that I myself would soup up this Prius hybrid, maybe with a dual exhaust emission. Yes.
And turbo thrusters.
Yes. Yes, Coach could use some turbo thrusters. Yes. All right. Well, now, Adam, the shipyard of Bremerton contains a portion of the United States Naval Reserve Fleet. A large collection of inactive U.S. Navy vessels, including two aircraft carriers, the USS Independence, CV-62, and the USS Kitty Hawk, CV-63. Kitty Hawk is mothballed, meaning that she is stored in case she is needed in the Navy in the future. Whereas Independence has been struck from the Naval Vessel Register and is due for scrapping, as has already been done with former IMF Bremerton carriers, the Ranger and Constellation. My question is, are you aware of any current Northwest wrestlers who should be mothballed or are in current mothball status where he or she is not currently wrestling but may be needed in the future?
No? I can't really think of anybody.
Oh, okay. All right, no mothball status. Okay, very good. All right. In your opinion, are there any Northwest wrestlers who should be like the Independence or CV-62 and be immediately designed for the scrap heap?
Repeat the question. I'm sorry.
In your opinion, are there any wrestlers in the Northwest who should be like the Independents and be immediately designed or designated for the scrap heap?
No, and I will definitely say I will say no for two reasons. One, because I don't want heat on me. Two, I don't want to, you know, who am I to say that anybody deserves to be scrapped? Who knows? They might get better later on in the future. That's up for them.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, good enough. All right. Well, Adam, the Coast Guard cutter Tamaroa is a 200-foot ocean-going tug that was in the movie The Perfect Storm. She made a real-life rescue in 40-foot seas off the East Coast in real life. She is also slated to be sunk off the eastern shore of Cape May, New Jersey, where the Coast Guard has their boot camp. My question is, who do you see as the first wrestler in the Northwest to be cremated and placed in an urn under the waves with the USS Arizona in Pearl Harbor or with the Tamaroa off the east coast of New Jersey?
Ron Von Hess.
Whoa, Ron Von Hess. Wow.
He's gonna be pissed at me for saying that.
Well, no, that's quite the honor. I mean, now, would you in Pearl Harbor or off New Jersey? That's a main question.
Off New Jersey. Let's do that.
Well, okay, Ron Von Hess off New Jersey. Okay.
Hey, man, we're gonna send him seaworthy. At least give it to a place where it's, you know, sunny and warm, right?
Yes, sunny and warm would be Pearl Harbor. Now, personally, it'd be very good to have the remaining six survivors that were at Arizona when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, to have them buried by full military honors, and wherever they are in the United States, be paid to have their remains shipped to Pearl Harbor by an act by Donald Trump. That would be classy, very classy.
I would say that'd be pretty classy, yeah.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well, Adam, at Dash's wedding last summer, you were talking about tea, and this prompts this question or observation. When I was getting ready to leave the wedding, Dash asked, so QT, would you like a cup of coffee for the road? And I said, well, I didn't bring a coffee cup. And Dash immediately replied, well, whose fault is that? My question is, do you think Dash could have been used as a stunt double for Armand the Vampire in the movie Interview with the Vampire?
Hell yeah, he could have been.
Yes, he kind of looks like Armand the Vampire. Okay. All right.
A vampire would not mess with.
Well, Adam, I wish you luck in your YouTube search for Shirley Cha-Cha Modowney and Billie Jean King, and I will turn it back over to Sign Guy.
All right, thank you very much for your time.
No problem. Yes, back to you, Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Adam, we have yet another game on the show that we play. I think you'll be perfect for this as well. It is called Word Association. It is a secondary psychological game where when I throw out the names of some people that you have come across, the first word or two that pops into your mind to describe them is the answer. Are you prepared to play Word Association?
Oh, hell yeah, because you know I love games. Let's do this.
Here we go. Game and James.
Muscles.
Dale Pierce.
Heel.
Annie Wraith.
Blonde.
Ian Bear.
Bear.
Paul Cerberus.
Some bitch.
Frankenhess.
Promoter.
Casey Carlisle.
Wrestler.
BJ Whitmer.
Ring of Honor.
Eddie Van Glam.
Glamorous.
The final one, Jimmy Flame.
inspiration?
One of the things that professional wrestlers on the independent level often do to make up a few extra dollars per booking is sell merchandise. Is there a line of merchandise for Adam X that fans can expect to be able to purchase the next time they go to a show?
Not at the moment, because I'm broke right now. But there was a period where I was trying to get some T-shirts sold over the internet. You can go to my Facebook and message me, and I can send you the link. That's Adam Haugen, A-D-A-M-H-A-U-G-E-N. I got to talk with a friend of mine who's helping me get these shirts made and get them made and get the website up and running again. But as of right now, not at the moment, but I do plan to in the very near future.
Imagine the joy on fans' faces if there was some generic Earl Grey or perhaps a Lady Grey, maybe a nice chamomile.
Oh, yeah.
In a box
Adam
with
X,
Adam
X sleep,
face
yeah.
on it.
Like most of my matches.
I'm just going to throw out Adam XT would be great.
Yes.
Hey, that was pretty good, you know. As Dash would like to say, tea time. I'm pretty sure if you're
yeah.
listening, you'd know what I'm referencing.
Now, also, imagine just a generic can of green beans with your very own label on it.
That was pretty smooth, actually. You know, you know how it is with me and those green beans and my depression, so. Oh, boy. Adam X Green Beans. I just got to come up with a slogan for
it. Hardy would probably buy them by the gross.
And then delete them.
Possibly. Well, we got just a few minutes left in the show. I want to give that time to you. If there's anything you want to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything, upcoming appearances, social medias, your favorite seafood restaurant, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
All right. Well, I want to thank all the listeners for hearing me out and giving me the time of day, just like you, Sangai, and your co-host. I thank you very much for having me on the show. If you want to reach me, if you want to talk with me, hang out, whatever, you can reach me on Facebook at Adam Haugen. That's my actual name, my real name, actual. It's A-D-A-M-H-A-U-G-E-N. And I'm very thankful for the opportunities I've been given through SCW. Regardless of what anybody else has to say about SCW, we put our heart and soul into what we do. And that should matter most is at the end of the day, while other people walk around with their noses in the air and act like they're the shit, you know, our wrestlers, we at least have heart and we're a big family and we have love and respect for each other, regardless. So, with that being said, I love my SCW family. I love my friends. I love my listeners and I love my supporters. And most importantly, I love you too, fine guy.
That's a little heartwarming right there. I'll say that much. I believe next show for SCW on the 3rd of December, is that correct?
Excuse me? Run that by me again?
The next show for SCW, is that the 3rd of December?
That's one of them, actually. The next show is going to be on November 19th, next week, actually. So. And I believe that the show starts at 6, I believe. And it's going to be a free show over at La Pablanita's over in West Bremerton off of Callow. And I hope to see anybody who's listening. If you're interested in going, I hope to see you there. Maybe we can all hang out while I'm building the ring.
Perhaps even a nice Earl Grey while you're building the tea. Building the ring.
Yeah, no, that's another thing. You want to get on my good side? You know, you want to get in good with me? Bring me tea. I love me some tea. Oh, and green beans. Well, actually, no, not so much the green beans. That's more of a joke. But tea is not. Tea is never no joke.
Some of us take green beans extremely seriously. But Adam, thanks very much for taking time out of your Sunday to be with us. Always a pleasure to have you on the program, and I look forward to seeing you the next show.
Yes.
All right, see you then, man. It was good talking with you. Thank you for having me.
All right, fans, get out there, support Adam and SCW. Adam X, of course, the current reigning and defending SCW heavyweight champion, face of the company right now, outstanding talent, gets better each time out. And also want to point out to you another former member of the Blonde Entourage, Annie Wraith, out with a brand new book. You can pick that up at Amazon.com. The name of Annie's book is Listen to the Earth. It's a collection of poetry and lyrics, so definitely support her and her first ever book. A great Christmas gift and or Hanukkah gift and or for Thanksgiving. So get out there, support her and her book. Definitely check out Adam. Sometimes their paths cross. You'll see Adam and Annie in the same place at the same time sometimes. So get out there, support them and professional wrestling in general. Get out there, see a show today if you got wrestling near you, and we will talk to you next week.
Once a man is glad, he is most likely